It's over, but it's just beginning. It's the news according to me. Fine, happy Thursday morning. February 24th, 2022. Still 2022. Definitely 2022. 142 picks. We have a lot of things on my mind this morning to share with you. Right after this brief word from my cup. I have a cup this morning. It's my Chesed cup. Or as you would properly say, Chesed cup. Chesed is the name of my sailboat. And I have a cup with the name on it here. The Chesed is kind of the loving kindness of God. It's kind of all of his goodness kind of wrapped up into that statement. Big statement. Bigger than you can wrap your mind around. My computer has been acting up this morning. And sometimes it has it's a disk slow. This thing has one of the fastest computers, well, that Apple made in 1915. It's a couple years old, but it's not the M chip or whatever that thing is now you have out there. But it's a fast processing system. It's got all kinds of RAM. And yet my DAW, my digital audio workstation, once in a while likes to say, disk too slow. I'm just recording audio. And it's not even doing video here right now. And it says it's too slow to record something. That just seems ridiculous. Anyway, in my cup this morning, I have, in my Chesed cup, it always keeps my throat nice and cleared up. I'll just say a Jewish word occasionally instead of coughing or something. It's probably a good idea. In my cup, I have some tea, some sweet tea. It's kind of leftover sweet tea from yesterday, along with a mixture of peach mango fusion energy drink, as well as some peach mango, just regular V8 fusion stuff. It's quite tasty. I already had some hot chocolate this morning. I had to have that. I got up really early this morning because I had to empty the dishwasher and then put a couple dirty dishes in there. And I ran the dishwasher yesterday because, you know, you need to know that because, well, it's important that you keep track of my chores. So anyway, we have a lot of things going on. Biggest thing I found in the news this morning that is not, of course, Ukraine's being invaded. But other than that, there's some other important stuff. Tucker Carlson is really going after this thing. This thing in Ukraine right now. The real issue that I think affects us more than anything is this whole thing with what happened in Canada. Now, the Freedom Convoy is on its way. The truckers are just leading this thing. It's not a trucker convoy. It is a convoy. The truckers are leading the whole thing. They're organized. You know, they're behind a lot of this. But it was inspired by what happened in Canada. So I think we need to pay attention a little bit to what happened in Canada and what's happening in Canada. We are a half a step behind them in terms of what this particular administration wants and what the leftist, radical leftists want. We have a perfect example here to the north of us of what can happen to a perfectly good country, one that's been known for its, you know, they apologize to you if you punch them. Punch the guy in the face. Punch a Canadian in the face and he'll apologize. Did I hurt your hand? Is your hand okay? That's the reputation that they've had. And we've gone from that to this tyrannical, I mean, everybody in this country, the flack that Trudeau and the parliament and the government up there right now have been receiving from this whole thing is beyond the pale. Now, the legacy media is not reporting on this at all. Of course, they've already moved on to the war. War is breaking out. Not here, of course, but over there. They're already talking about that. The MSNBC group has all of a sudden switched gears. They are mystified and what was the term I saw on this? See if it's still, it might still be on here. It's not on here. This was too much yesterday. This some interesting developments in the Trump issues with the whole New York City investigation and the, everything that's going on there with Trump. It has been apparently a couple of prosecutors have resigned. I'm not exactly sure what the whole structure is there. I guess they're called prosecutors, but they've got it's interesting. I guess the lead prosecutor or the head of the DOJ, whatever their structure thing is there, who these prosecutors work for, they've resigned, and they're not giving any comment. Which is there's something weird. Either they disagree with where the AG wants to go, or the AG asked for their resignation because they wanted to pursue something that he disagreed with. He or she, I don't know who it is. I don't know. I don't know what's going on there. Something's afoot, and somebody doesn't like what's going on. Either the prosecutors decided that there's no case here and they're pushing us to do this, so we're just going to resign, or the prosecutors see the problem is there's a political agenda behind this thing. And somebody's saying, there's no case here. This is a political prosecution, and you're just going after. And they have vowed. There are people within the administration there in New York that have vowed to go after him. They're going to get him. They don't know what yet. They're going to. I don't even think they have probable cause or suspicion on anything. Well, they're suspicious of everything because of hearsay and rumor. So they're going after him based on that, but they don't have any evidence. So that's what they're going at. They're going after evidence now in these trials. They've launched this investigation to find something on him. How would you like it if they did that to you? If they just decided, well, we think you're guilty of something. We don't know what, but we're going to investigate every little thing in your life till we find something that you've done wrong. And then we're going to drop the hammer on you, put you away. We're going to get that perp walk that we want for the optics. Because I want to be the hero who puts Trump in jail. They want to be the top of the piggy pile when it comes to getting Trump. Because he's a bad guy. But I wish they had that kind of righteous fervor for other people in politics. I guarantee you there's a whole mountain of things that you could go after in some particular individual's backgrounds and history. There's a former vice president I'm thinking of that possibly could go up, you know, you could go after him. You can fill in the blank on which one because it's probably more than one. But there's a former vice president who happens to still have a predominant political office in this country. Have you ever noticed Biden is never in the Oval Office. What is up with this? Has he ever been filmed in the Oval Office? Filmed. We don't use film anymore. We use digital video. Has he ever been recorded there? All these, you know, every time they show him in an office someplace or speaking to someone, it is in his little studio across the street from the White House. This is weird. I mean, Trump constantly had people in the Oval Office. What is going on there? I just can't remember or recall. I mean, I'm sure there probably is some time when he's been there and been recorded there. It just seems like there's so few. I can't even recall the last time I remember him being in this. I mean, I don't know. Part of the reason is for that is that there are records in the White House that have to be kept in terms of visitations and who's there and what's happening. Whereas the little studio they have set up across the street can be restricted. Now, that's kind of a conspiracy theory, tinfoil hat thing. But it is reality. That is true that they don't have to keep the same records over there that they do at the White House. I think they can keep those records off the book in terms of Freedom of Information Act and that kind of thing. So I don't know if that's what's happening there or not. I'm just saying it's potentially could happen, be happening. So what's happening north of us here on our northern border? Well, this morning, this morning I saw the news that Trudeau has revoked the Emergencies Act. And there's going to be an inquiry into why it was used and whether or not it was used properly. We're going to examine ourselves to see if we did anything wrong. Well, yeah, you people are the most honest and transparent, most self-aware people on the planet. You're the most humble. Yeah. We can trust you to investigate yourself. I'm sure you'll be honest with us. I've seen some video, folks, of things that the police have done there in Canada. These people are jackboot thugs. I don't know what kind of whether what police force it was that walked in there, whether it was the RCMP, the Mounties. I don't know if they got them to come in there. I don't know who it was, if there was some kind of an elite force or if it was some kind of foreign force that came in there. I don't know. All I know is it was shameful. And the kind of language that Trudeau has been using, these people were dangerous. We've now protected our city again. We're confident that the city is going to be safe again. Let's listen to what he has to say. This is about a minute and a half long. It's worth listening to, I guess, because I want to dissect this thing and just help you understand a couple things. One is the way Trudeau talks. A lot of people find it unnerving about how Trudeau talks. If they can get past their Google eyes, some people are just in love with this guy. People on the left just love this guy. Oh, he's so cute. Oh, look at this. Oh, he looks like one of the Beatles. Oh, he looks just like Fidel Castro, my hero. This is, people are so enamored by that kind of thing. You know, the only thing that's, I don't get into that. But he has this way of speaking, and it unnerves people. And here's why. This comes back to that whole thing of me having this kind of a gut thing when I hear somebody talk. I can kind of tell there's something going on, something wrong. And I've started to kind of figure out, so kind of categorize some of these things when I get these. I listen to someone talk, I'm like, ugh. This person's almost like this meter goes off where these things kind of indicate when I hear them speak. And the indication I get from him is very much like, believe it or not, a lot like Kamala Lalala, or I call her Carmella, a particular vice president. I won't mention her name, her real name. I'm going to change her name for protection of the innocent. Kamala la 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 la. That's what I'm going to call her. You can decide who I'm talking about. I don't want to narrow it down too much. In speaking, this particular vice president has a... It's an uncertainty in their voice. It's an acting thing. It's a phoniness that comes through that people are unnerved by, unsettled. It's an unsettling feeling because you get the feeling that they're not being genuine. They're reading a script. It's a show. The theater, the political theater, comes through way too much. It's too theatrical. It's just It's too phony, and it does not connect with people who are deeper than a small mud puddle. Well, let's just listen to what he has to say. I'm going to dissect it. We're going to listen to the whole thing. I'm going to play it back again. I've started it and I didn't. Let's start it back here again and let's turn it on so you can hear.
We were very clear that the use of the Emergencies Act would be limited in time. And today, after careful consideration, we're ready to confirm that the situation is no longer an emergency. Therefore, the federal government will be ending the use of the Emergencies Act. We are confident that existing laws and bylaws are now sufficient to keep people safe. A joint committee of parliamentarians will be struck to review the declaration of emergency. Within 60 days, there will be an inquiry into the circumstances that led to the Emergencies Act being invoked. It will look at how we got there and why it was required. It could look at policing. The inquiry could also examine the funding, influence, and disinformation that supported the illegal blockades and occupations, both foreign and domestic. Going forward, it'll be important that we gain a fuller understanding of what gave rise to this kind of disregard for laws and threat to our democracy. We need to make sure our institutions are prepared and ready in the future. While the immediate emergency situation is over, this issue won't just go away.
But we wish he would go away. This statement, if you watch him on the video of this, that was 5 pages he went through. Does he just have like one sentence on each page? It looks really weird to see him read not even a paragraph of statement and take his page and put it laid aside and pick up the next page while he's doing all that. Very smooth, by the way. This statement, and I think there was more to it. It looked like it was a little bit edited in terms of some of the other fluff that was in there. I think they on this particular, this was brought by City News, by the way. I pulled it off of their YouTube channel. This thing is just riddled with innuendo and statements and words that are very, very well crafted. Most people would not notice it, but the narrative is huge here. It is overwhelming. And maybe it's because, you know, I was never good at English in terms of, you know, academically in school. In fact, if my English teachers knew that what I'm doing today with regard to my actual job, not this job, the job that actually pays that I do, it's funny. It's actually almost funny. I laugh sometimes. Because I can't get over it. The amount of money that I make for reading, which is something I don't like. I actually don't like doing that much. I don't read. My wife is a reader. She can sit down and read a book. She likes to watch movies too, but she can sit down and read a book. Just read the whole thing. Sit down, just read. She's very academic as well. She can study the books, stuff. She's all that written stuff. Yeah, but she can do all that. I am not wired that way at all. I have occasionally read some books. I'm not a very well read individual in terms of reading all of the intellect and the things that happen. I can't do that. I'm just not that guy. And I like it. I like reading this. I like listening to stories. You can read to me if you want to. I don't like reading. So here, ironically, and of course, during an English class, I was terrible about sentence structure and definitions of words. I've always kind of been interested in, but not in school. I wasn't interested in anything. I wanted to go out and ride motocross bikes and play soccer. And I did actually want to play hockey, but we didn't have much of a season for that here. And so I was more of an adventurer type guy. I wanted to go out and kickbox and do karate stuff and scuba dive and fly airplanes. I didn't want to sit around figuring out whether there's a dangling participle on my sentence or not. I just wasn't that guy. So I wasn't much into college. I went through 1 year of college, and that was all I could take. It was enough for me. One was enough to know that I don't belong there. I passed, barely, but I got through that. But I've accomplished plenty of other things in my life, and now you know, it's starting to kind of, it's interesting because some of the experience I've had in life, things I've done, is actually because of the way the labor force is right now. There's a particular potential job offer I'm getting that normally requires a college degree. But because of, they're also willing to hire based on experience, life experience. And it's, I'm kind of dumbfounded by that. That this was not the case for many years, especially in this particular industry that I'm looking at. It's a serious job offer that I'm going to take seriously. It wouldn't be any more full-time than the side gig I've got now. In fact, I would probably have better flexibility with regard to time. But the pay is like twice as much. And it's a good side gig. I mean, this would actually compete with my regular job, my business. So it's tough. This is a tough one. So, but I'm not, you know, I have to keep doing this because this is, well, it's therapeutic for me, for one thing, being able to just record this, my thoughts and my opinions, and believe that maybe somebody's out there listening. It's possible. Someone might actually listen to me for more than 2 minutes. Like 2 minutes and 30 seconds. That would be awesome. So let's break down a little bit. We're going to break down what Trudeau said. Because I think it's important, or as the Southern people say, important, that we kind of look at this as kind of dissect it. So I'm going to pause the video here as we go through it. I'm going to make some comments because, you know, that's how I am. I pick on people. So let's see how we go with this. Because I'm such an expert on nothing. By the way, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a financial advisor. I'm not an epidemiologist or a virologist. I'm not certified in anything in any way that has anything to do with anything. I'm just a guy with this microphone who happens to know how to push a record button. And I happen to have a membership to the podcasting forum here thing that I can post on. I know just enough to be dangerous. And I have a bunch of opinions. I'm going to share them, and you can do whatever you want to with those. But I'm not not meant to be any kind of life advice in any way, shape, or form, legal, medical, or any otherwise. So if you're looking for that, you need to go talk to, I don't know, somebody else. I don't know who, because I don't want to recommend anybody, because then I'm giving you advice on who to talk to. I would say go to the internet. That's always a reliable source of information. So just, I'm going to start, but let's just go back over this. Trudeau here is, let's see what he has to say. We're gonna go through this. I'm going to click on the right thing here. I'm going to click on the wrong thing. I'm going to shut you off. Here we go.
We were very clear that the use of the Emergencies Act would be limited in time.
Limited in time. Now listen to the way he talks. This is one page he's reading here. He's got a little glass of water. He's got his little tie and his little suit on, and he's looking around the room. Now, if you look at where his eyes go, I've seen this with some people. There's some people I've seen speak. And this really bothers me when I see preachers do this. If there's a pastor or preacher who's speaking to his congregation and he's looking at the room, the walls around the room, not looking at people in the eye. He's looking over everybody. That's exactly what he's doing in this. There's no, where his eyes are going, there's nobody sitting that high. Nobody. He's looking up above his eye level. And I guarantee you He's not sitting down in a hole looking up at a state in an auditorium. Because that's not what's happening here. In fact, it's possible there may not even be anybody there from the press. This could all be this. All they're showing is him in front of a, it looks like a bunch of maple leaves. So it's like a white background drape type thing with a bunch of maple leaves on it. And it's got little triangle dangle things coming down. I don't know, in front of that. And he's just sitting there at this little bitty desk. It's kind of like what something like Biden would do. So he says it's going to be temporary in time. Now, the Emergencies Act, be very clear here. As he's revoking the Emergencies Act, this does not mean, and if you listen to him carefully throughout this process, they are still going to go after prosecution. They're talking prosecution of people both foreign and domestic. In other words, anybody who, I'm wondering what they're going to try to do with anybody who donated from this country, donated to their funds, or supported them or made contact or who came across the border to be there. I'm curious as to where this is going to go, because I don't think it's now, for one thing, they know they have to roll this thing back very quickly and clean it up, because this is not looking good for them. They also know that people's memory is about 2 weeks long. By the time elections come around, people will have forgotten this. Now, I don't think that people who are mad at Trudeau right now, unless he comes out and asks for forgiveness. Now, this is the thing that politicians don't do. They don't come out and say, you know what, I was wrong, and I want to retract what I said. I was incorrect. My initial assessment of this whole COVID thing, I was wrong. And I would like to recant and say I'm sorry for putting people through what I put them through. By and large, the media hates that. The media will jump all over that. However, the American people, or the people in general, I think the people in Canada even, the Western culture is very forgiving in that regard. It's the leftists that are not. They will scrub you from social media. There is no mercy. It is the absolute definition of fascism. You are canceled. You are no longer allowed in society. And they have actually said those words. I've heard people in media say, these people need to be removed from our society. They have said those exact words. What exactly do you mean by that? Are you saying eliminated as in extinguished? Executed? Or just shuffled off to a gulag? Or a re-education camp, as you might call it, for 50 years. Because that's what tyrants do. And yet, we're not the tyrants. No, you're the ones who are the tyrants. You're the ones who want to put us in a gulag. No, you're talking about it. You're the one who brought it up. Just because we're having an argument, we're disagreeing, and you're losing the argument, you want to shuffle us all off and excommunicate us. So that's what he says. This whole thing was supposed to be a short time. Okay, so let's listen to the further what he says here.
Today, after careful consideration,
we're ready to confirm
that the situation is no longer an emergency.
It's no longer an emergency. The situation is no longer an emergency. Now, be very clear here. What he's saying is, the protest was an emergency. The protest was dangerous. The protest was a threat to democracy. Now listen to what he says here.
Therefore, the federal government will be ending the use of the Emergencies Act.
That was one page right there.
We are confident that existing laws and bylaws are now sufficient to keep people safe.
Sufficient to keep people safe. Existing laws and bylaws are sufficient to keep people safe. please explain to me the danger that people were in with the truckers being there, with their bouncy houses and their little outdoor cookery that they were doing. The big block party, basically, what do they call that when you're in the parking lot and you have a trunk, what do they call it, bumper thing? What do they call it? Tailgating. All their tailgating. That was dangerous. Now we have sufficient laws in place to keep people safe. In other words, you're safe. Now you can relax. You're no longer in danger from these scary insurrectionists, these swastika-waving racists who want to take over our democracy. That's not what they want. But now we have sufficient law. Present laws and bylaws are sufficient to keep people safe. In other words, to keep you under control. That's what he really means. We have sufficient laws now to keep everyone in control. To keep our little subjects and our serfs from acting out and rebelling and demanding their freedom and their liberty and their rights. But we're going to make it so that in the future, maybe we can put these things in place again real quickly. And maybe we're not going to retract everything. While I'm revoking the Emergencies Act, now listen to what he says here in a little bit. And there are people in their parliament now talking about keeping some of these things in place, like some of the financial abilities to manipulate and punish people with impunity. They're talking about that. They can do that in this country, by the way. In the United States, you are not immune from that. Those things are already in place, and they happen to people all the time, and we don't talk about it. Because they don't do it in a widespread way like this. So it's kind of the little elephant in the room that nobody talks about. Let's continue on.
A joint committee of parliamentarians will be struck to review the declaration of emergency. Within 60 days, there will be an inquiry into the circumstances that...
So let's talk about that. Let's go back here a second.
There will be an inquiry into the circumstances that led to the Emergencies Act being struck to review the declaration sufficient to keep people safe.
Okay, here we go.
A joint committee of parliamentarians will be struck to review the declaration of emergency.
So a joint... whatever he said, of parliament, a joint group of parliament, whatever it is, what are you talking about? This is kind of like the January 6th commission. We're going to have a select group of people that are against this thing, and we're all for and voted for the Emergencies Act. We're going to have them review whether or not we should have invoked the Emergencies Act. This is absolutely ridiculous. This is why I've always thought we need to have like a people's, believe it or not, I mean, the House of Representatives is supposed to be the people's house. It's supposed to be the common man representation kind of part of Congress. The Senate is supposed to be more of a legal thing, more lawyer-esque, whereas Congress is supposed to be more of a people's representation type thing. At least that's kind of the traditional kind of thought behind it. It's not necessarily the way it is. There have been people in the House that have retired from the House and gone to the Senate, and vice versa. Usually, the Senate's where people want to go. There's a longer term there, and they want to get the commission. They want to get their I think they get their retirement from both of them. I think they've been in both. The interesting thing here is that we have a very select group of individuals here who just become bureaucrats. I've always felt like it would be nice to have a different branch of government that oversees all other branches of government. And they have the power and impunity not to make legislation, not to send a bill to the House or to have any kind of influence over anyone's in any kind of decisions made on any kind of whatever legislation itself. But they have every right to oversee the politicians and any organization within the political structure. And this group would be kind of like a, you know, there'd be, it would be you wouldn't be an elected official. They would not be elected at all. In fact, they'd be drafted into these positions. You serve a 2-year term, maybe a 3-year term, whatever it is. And each year you move up in leadership within this group, which is like a time limitation where you move up in leadership so that people who've been there for 2 years, in the last year, they would be eligible for leadership within the group. And this group would be made up of like 2 people from each state. And you're drafted into this position. In other words, you don't apply for it. You don't run for it. You're drafted like jury. It's like jury duty. You are compensated extremely well for doing it. It's like winning the lottery. And it's, believe me, we can afford it. Because think about when you hear what I'm going to talk about here. They have the right to examine anything they want. They are the American people. It could be called the people's branch of government. I'm just thinking out loud here. This is just kind of my thoughts. They can, by vote within the group, decide whether they're going to investigate anything. CIA, NSA, whatever they want. Whatever they want to see. They can see whatever they want. No security clearances needed. And you're going to get a mix of partisanship, I'm sure, within the group. You're also going to get basically a cross-section of America. And they can decide, you know, just to set the whole thing up somehow so that they are the ones who hold politicians accountable. They can look into their lives and make decisions based on who should be censored and who should, just different things like, what's going on here with your laws? Why is it that you can make these laws, but you're not accountable to them? You're not held to them. Just different, I don't know, just some kind of way of keeping them in check. Kind of like a inspector general or inspectors general, the general inspectors. But they're drafted into the position. There's no political motive whatsoever with regard to people being put into place because of political motive. I'm sure they're going to draft people with political motives. Don't get me wrong. Now, that, it could be corrupt as well. Don't get me wrong. People could get paid off. People could mess with the system. Get the people drafted in that they want to get drafted in. And there's all kinds of ways this thing could be corrupted, just like everything else. But there seems to be no way we can hold these people accountable. Now, let me just explain something real quick. Let me explain something here to you, Lucy. There's a little statement here. Oh, you know the thing. Let me just go read the thing real quick here. You know the thing. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. They govern at the consent of the governed. That's my words. Continuing. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people, to alter or to abolish it. and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form, as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. It is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it. What is that supposed to look like? Oh, today we're going to alter or we're going to abolish the government. And the government's going to go along with that. Those people who are in power, who are power hungry, drooling, seething, megalomaniacs, are just going to say, oh, okay, we'll go home. Go ahead and start your own thing there. Yeah, go ahead and we'll start over again. Do over. Yeah, how's that going to happen? You have to abide by their rules in order for it to happen. Oh, you can't come into the Capitol. Can't come into the Capitol area. Because, you know, COVID. We're going to put up a fence around it, around the Capitol building, so that you can't alter or abolish this, because it's the temple of democracy. It's a threat to our democracy. Whose democracy? Your democracy? We have a republic, lady. Oh, I'm getting personal now with Nancy.
The children. It's all about the children. I love to eat children.
I'm pretty sure that's what she said. Maybe I'm wrong. I could be wrong. I'm not going to quote her on that. So we go on. Let's go on here to Mr. Trudeau and everything he's saying. And look, notice that he, between statements, he's, and then there's, and then there's, and he's got this, it's phony. This is acting 101 that this guy's doing. I guarantee you. He doesn't like making these speeches. When he's speaking, it is all talking points and platitudes that he knows. Well, let's just go on with what he's saying here.
Within 60 days, there will be an inquiry into the circumstances that led to the Emergencies Act being invoked. It will look at how we got there and why it was required. It could look at policing. The inquiry could also examine the funding, influence, and disinformation that supported the illegal blockades and occupations, both foreign and domestic.
So, did you notice that? It will look into the funding and misinformation, both foreign and domestic, that stirred up this mess. Our country was under attack. Our democracy was under attack. Again, we find this issue of democracy to not be very well understood. First of all, again, getting back to the whole definition of our republic and our government is made up of for and by the people, not the bureaucrats in Washington. Yes, you get elected. Many of you get elected on false promises and lies. Yes, I call them lies. I don't call them, what do they call it? Not candid, the lack of candor. Whatever, it's lies. Let's just call it what it is. Nancy Pelosi scoffs at anyone who says, well, during the campaign, they said this. Oh, well, that was the campaign. Oh, well, she actually said that. Oh, well, campaign. Oh, well, I can't hold us accountable to that. We just had to lie to get into power so that we could do our jobs. Because we know best, because the end justifies the means. Oh, I mean, did I say that out loud? With the children. It's all about the children. Whatever. Okay, so here we go.
Going forward. It'll be important that we gain a fuller understanding of what gave rise to this kind of disregard for laws and threat to our democracy.
Laws and gave rise to this lack of regard to laws and this threat to our democracy. Threat to our democracy. They have to weave that kind of stuff in there. Because this was an attack on our society and an attack on our laws and our democracy. This was an insurrection. They were going to take over the government. They didn't want to take over the government. People want to just want to drive their trucks. They just want to have the freedom to do what they know they can do without your you're the tyrant. You're the problem. And you don't have the self-awareness to understand. We'd have to understand what gave rise to this. Why'd these people react the way they did? Well, first of all, you didn't talk to them, first of all. That would have been helpful. At least send an envoy out there to talk to them. Nope, can't do that. We're not going to entertain anything with these insurrectionists and these Nazis, these swastika-waving Nazis that are out there, that are not white supremacists, that are out there taking over the white supremacists. Yeah, there's... That's what they owe. That's what they. That's what this is all about. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. That's you. Just keep saying that. So let's go on. This thing almost makes me sick to my stomach when I listen to him talk. I don't. It's so unnerving. It's just so unnerving because he's so phony. But let's continue on.
We need to make sure our institutions are prepared and ready in the future.
That's scary.
While the immediate emergency situation is over, this issue won't just go away.
No, it won't just go away because they're going to keep pursuing. Much like the police officer said that it was in charge there now. This investigation is going to go on for months. We're going to be going after anybody who donated to this thing. Anybody who had anything to do with it. So just one thing after another. And this is absolutely, in some ways, you could say it's terrifying. Now, I'm expecting it from government. I see what's happening here. I see what's going on. You have big tech, the media, and the powers that be, those who are in charge, the oligarchy, the whatever you want to call it, the in crowd, the power-hungry despot leaders are all in cahoots on this. They have an agenda. They have a narrative. They have a societal mission that they need to one-up each other on. And they will continue to do this. They thrive on this. Because they need to squash their enemies. Get in line and behave. Gee, where have we heard that before? It's like kind of like, yeah. It just goes. It goes on and on, folks. There's no end to this. And every time we go around this circle and this cycle, and every time. You know, big tech and the internet and all the things that are happening out there, the more ingrained it becomes in our lives, the more they are able to just flip a switch and shut off. If you donated to this thing, there was a lady who, I think she donated like $50. I thought it was $150. That might have been another story, but I heard there's a lady who donated $50, had her entire bank account frozen. Single mother. Everything just shut down. Can't do anything. A lot of these truckers have had everything shut off. They can't do anything with their banks right now. The government ordered their bank accounts frozen. Think about that. What would you do today if you went to use your card and all of a sudden you couldn't, you had access to none of your funds. All you had was whatever cash you have on hand. That's all you got to survive on. Froze. None of your automatic payments are working. You can't make a house payment. You can't go to the grocery store. You're done. No credit cards. No funds from the bank. What are you going to do? No due process. No court date. No nothing. They just shut it off. I'll tell you what. Whether, you know, and here's where the problem is with this whole thing. We all talk big. Now, I know if something like that happened to me, I'm at the end of my rope with government. I hate to think what I might do. But it's not going to be some lame, crazy lame brain idea. It's going to be effective, I guarantee you, whatever I do. It's going to have an effect. But, and I'm not, I have no plans to do anything. I mean, I'm not, right now I'm not at that stage. But I do know this. I've seen this happen before. They will divide and conquer. They do this all the time. They'll find one individual who they want to make an example out of. They'll go after them, and nobody else stands up to defend the guy. There was a guy, I think, down in, was it Kentucky or Arizona, someplace. He's either south or southwest, someplace. Maybe it was Oklahoma, I don't know. This guy was in his house. And they decided that he had too many guns, too much ammo in his house. And they sent him a letter basically saying he needed to relinquish his firearms. He was a threat to society because he had too many guns. He wouldn't do it. They came after him. They surrounded his house. And they brought in a bulldozer. And just started bulldozing. He was in the house. They started bulldozing his house down. Now, this didn't make national news. I don't understand. This was years ago. This was probably 20 years ago this happened. Where were all the gun rights people who talk big? I guarantee you, if we're all just in this by ourselves, they will single us out and do us in. That they can do that. We just sit around and don't do it. We need to actually kind of pull together on this. And I think that is happening. I think the problem is social media stops you from doing that. Well, you're a threat to society. Even the words that I'm saying right now, I realize probably are a threat to society. I probably would get banned off Facebook if I were saying some of the things I'm saying right now. I'd probably get investigated for some of the things I'm saying. And all I'm saying is basically what the founding fathers would say. Of course, they're vilified now too. They're a bunch of terrorists. I don't want to take over the government. I want the government to behave. I want the government to be what it's supposed to be. I'm all for it. I back the police. I back the military. I even back our public servants and our elected officials. But don't step out of line. The moment you become a tyrant, you become an enemy to this country and an enemy to every single person on this planet. JFK said it best, I think. And I always get this statement wrong. I don't know whether it was a threat. Every man is threatened. Rights of one. No, that's not even, I've got to spell it right or it's not going to come out right, especially when you're using DuckDuckGo. When the rights of one man are threatened, the rights of every man. Now, when the rights of every man are diminished, see, this is where I get it wrong. I get this backwards all the time. When the rights of every man are diminished, let me back up again because I think I said that wrong. The rights of every man are diminished when the rights of one man are threatened. I thought it was the other way around. But the rights of every man are diminished when the rights of one man are threatened. Now, that's JFK was actually quoting someone else, but JFK's famous for saying that. The rights of every man are diminished when the rights of one man are threatened. There's a little definition here. This one article here goes into. It was founded on the principles. What does it mean? Basically, what they're saying. It was founded on the principle that all men are created equal, and that their rights, the rights of every man, are diminished when the rights of one man are threatened. Pretty simple. He addressed the issue of voting, segregation, education, work, and treatment. In any sense, whatever sector of life, whether it's education or work or whatever, when one person's rights are threatened, everyone's rights are diminished. Understanding the individual rights, the basis of our rights, the foundation and principles of our rights are based on individual rights. And if when that happens, when one individual, his rights are diminished. Or threatened, I should say. Everyone's rights are diminished. That's what he's saying there. And yet when you're not in the right class, when you're not in the right group, when we can vilify you, well, we have to invoke these emergency acts to take away these people's rights to clean this mess up. And then we'll just go back to the way things were because we have sufficient laws and bylaws to keep people in check. I mean, to keep you safe. That's what it is. Yeah, it's not just to keep you safe. It's, to keep you safe. That's what it is. Yeah, yeah. That's what I meant to say. Yeah. Oh, by the way, war broke out in Ukraine. Didn't mean to miss that. There's a trucker convoy coming, or the People's Freedom Convoy coming across the country right now as well. They're supposed to stop in Indianapolis for two days, March 1st and 2nd. I was hoping, I would be off. I would go down there for that. I would like to get some eyes on with that one, but I'm not going to be able to. March 1st, I will be home. Let's see, I get home on the 28th, late that night. I got to go back to work on the 2nd. I'm just thinking I'm not going to want to probably drive down there for a day, my only day home for a while. I have to be gone another couple days, come back, and then leave again. So, next couple of weeks are going to be a little bit busy. Now, later in the month, I have a whole bunch of time off, and I'll be back again on a regular basis. So for those of you who are scared and nervous that I'm not going to be around enough for you to tell you what to think, you'll be fine. Just relax. You'll be fine. Actually, over the next 2 weeks, I should be able to keep the show going, at least the morning show. I've noticed that when I get the show out earlier in the mornings, what I'd really like to do is do the show at like 6 o'clock in the morning, Eastern time. Because right now it's 9:10 a.m. Eastern time. And if I get the show out before 7, if I can post this show before 7, the listenership goes way up. I think it's the early bird folks that like to listen to the show. I think that's what happens. I think there's certain kind of early girlies out there that I'm kind of a morning bird, sort of. What I like to do is get up early. I love getting up early. I seem to think a little bit clearer, and I'm a little bit more. It's harder to be for me to be. I can concentrate better. It's harder for me to be distracted in the mornings for some reason. I can stay really focused and be really on point in the mornings. As the day goes on, I get a little bit more distracted and I get a little bit more sidetracked, and just my attention span is gone. And then, what I like to do is take a nap in the afternoon. And then stay up late, because I like staying up late. But I also like getting up early because I function well. I'm weird in that respect. So I'm a night owl who likes to get up early. So I need to sleep during the day. That's kind of what a mouse do. But I hate working night shift. I don't like that either. I mean, the only reason I did work a night shift for a while. I worked a third shift job for about a year, and I actually enjoyed part of it because I for one thing, the boss wasn't looking over my shoulder. Boss wasn't there during it. Once in a while, the boss would come in like 11 or 12 o'clock at night just to check up on things. It's like, oh, okay. So you caught me sitting here doing my job. I don't know what you're looking for, but it was, in that respect, it was kind of nice. It was quieter. And if I wanted to do something during the day, I could. You know, if I really needed to, I could do something during the day. When things were open, if I had to go to the bank, I could go to the bank because it was open. You know, stuff like that. If there was something going on during the day, I could do that. I could go to a meeting in the morning or whatever. Go to a meeting, go back to bed. And I never slept well, though. That was the problem. I never really slept quite right during the day. And then, this was in my younger years. I found that the best time to work was, for me, was in the afternoon, the second shift job. Where you go in at 3 o'clock in the evening, you work until like, you know, or 2 o'clock, and then you work until like midnight or 11 o'clock, whatever. That seemed, my body loved that because I could go home, it's quiet, I could unwind, maybe watch something that I had recorded earlier in the day, because this was back before the internet. And then, well, not before the internet, but you know, there wasn't anything on the internet. So that I would go back in and I'd go home after an hour of just kind of relaxing. I could go to bed, sleep until whenever, no alarm clock, just sleep, wake up. And that was it. I was done. And it worked out great. I get up and do my thing, go to the bank, do whatever I need to do, run my errands, go to the store, and go to work. And I have some lunch, going to work. Worked out great. Yeah. But I had no social life because everybody else worked, you know, 9 to 5. And they were getting off work, I was already at work. So I would never see anybody. That was the only downside of that whole thing. Nowadays, that probably wouldn't bother me as much. All my friends have left me. So I don't have any, nobody wants to hang out with me anymore because I'm too opinionated. I'm a grumpy old man. I sit out there on the porch. You kids, get off my lawn. You know, stuff like that. Who's turning these lights on? Turning these lights off. They're always on. Stuff like that. And there aren't even, you know, and I probably was the one that left the lights on because there really aren't any kids out on my lawn this time of year. So I'm not know who I'm yelling at. It just looks like kids out there to me. I can't see well enough. Probably a bird. Call them, you know, whatever. Squirrels. Anyway. That's all I got to say. The Ukraine broke out, by the way. And this whole thing, I guess Biden was asked about this whole thing, whether or not he underestimated. I guess there was a question where this reporter said, did you underestimate Putin in this whole because we were told that, oh, these sanctions are going to be tough. It's going to be hard on him. Oh, he doesn't dare invade because these sanctions are going to come crashing down on him. And we're all going to be paying $6 a gallon for gas because that's the price of freedom. That's the price of our morals and our, well, you know, we got to save Ukraine because they're paying my son millions of dollars a year to sit on a board. Yeah, that's where we are right now, folks. That's where we are. So if you're curious, you know, at all about why in the world we are, I guess, well, somebody asked him that question. I could get back to that. Somebody asked him that question. So did you underestimate Putin? And he sat there and picked his teeth. And he didn't respond. It's like, hey, Joe, wake up. You need to talk about this. This is kind of a big deal. In terms of how we're going to respond, or if we're going to respond at all, or why this, none of this stuff happened under Trump. Why all of a sudden are we seen as being weak? Well, we have to have $6. See, part of this whole $6 a gallon gas thing, too. I want to talk about this afternoon if I have a show again, which I plan on doing today for real. I actually plan on doing it. Part of the problem here is that they want to have high gas prices. They've talked about this. They've actually admitted to this. Even during the Obama administration, he loved it. First of all, the gas prices went up, and he said, well, that's a sign that the economy is doing great. When gas prices go up, that means demand is up, and that means the economy is great. Well, not my economy. I can't afford to go to the work. I'm not making any more money, and it's costing me more money to get to work. Isn't that great? I'm just so excited about that. I have less money in my pocket. I'm making less money. Prices of everything are going up. My wages aren't going up. So that's great because the economy is doing so great. I'm so happy about that. It has nothing to do with your stupid policies, apparently. Yeah, that's great. So we have this going on. At the same time, another reason that they want the gas prices to go up and go up to $100 a barrel is because, well, I guess we just need to go to alternative sources of energy. We need to do renewables. We need to have wind farms and solar farms. This is why we have to do this. Because, you know, global warming. That's the next existential threat. Look up the word existential sometime when you get a chance. They throw that word around all the time. It's a big word. They just throw it out there because people know what it means. And yet it's... But they're not the fearmongers. They're not the ones, you know, invoking fear to do anything. They're the ones that are realistic and have a realistic view of science. Science! It's science! Follow the science! We've been told that before. Well, the science has changed. All of a sudden, science has changed. You don't have to wear a mask now. The science has changed.
Natural immunity doesn't do any good. Natural immunity, it does some good.
Well, sadly, natural immunity is working with the Omicron variant better than our vaccines. They're getting out there faster and staying ahead of us. So now, sadly, we have an overstock of vaccinations. So what we're going to do is we're going to require vaccinations this fall. A fourth booster will be available. The fourth, number four booster, which is the same as the first shot you took, by the way. The boosters are the same shots. They don't have like shot one and shot two. And then if you want a booster, it's marked booster on there, on the little vial that you get. It's the same shot. It's a fourth shot. It's the same exact stuff, which actually, by the way, did nothing against Omicron. If you look at the data, and this is where it really gets me with people in the medical field who are not paying attention. And I understand they're busy. They don't have time to pay attention. I get that. But the actual numbers, look at the actual numbers. Now, you have to realize we're also getting numbers from people that I don't necessarily trust. They're going by CDC numbers, other numbers that are being reported in other countries. Some countries are more honest than others about their numbers. They're always going back and re-editing those things. And we had an audit on these numbers. Looks like 25,000. All of a sudden, after the election, after the inauguration, actually, California came out and said, "Well, I guess we only had there was 27,000 people on the death thing, COVID death thing that actually didn't die from COVID." Oh, but that played out really well for the election, didn't it? Oh, how convenient! But that way, it makes you know, doesn't look like the numbers were as bad then for Biden, even with all the audits, we now have more people died supposedly from COVID, not just with COVID. What I'm getting at, they count those people, but all these people died from COVID. More have died under the Biden administration than ever died under Trump administration in 1 year. But, you know, that's semantics. Tomato, tomato, whatever. That's not news anymore. Because, you know, Biden, you know, he's not Trump. We don't have the mean tweets. We might have Korea sending off missiles again, testing missiles and testing nuclear stuff. We have Iran sending missiles up that can reach the United States now. We have, did I say North Korea? Or did I just say Korea? I meant to say North Korea if I said Korea. And we have Russia invading Ukraine, and we have China flying over Taiwan. But, you know, we don't have mean tweets anymore, which is, you know, we don't have this supposedly disgusting pig, according to certain actors. Who are some of the most disgusting pigs on the planet, have the gall and the nerve to stand up there and call out someone else for morality. Whatever. So, I digress. Again, I've run over the show. I've run over my hour. And all my producers over there in his little, there's no producer. I just make that stuff up. I just pretend like there's a producer. It cracks me up some of these shows, like especially the Daily Wire. Now Matt Walsh gets done and talks about, get this thing at the end, you know, hair and makeup by so-and-so and this. And once in a while, I don't know if these people are real or not. Sometimes these names are kind of funny, but it's like, This guy, sometimes he still does his show in his car. Executive producer, so-and-so, and hair and makeup by so-and-so, and Anthony Content, and executive producer, and technical advisor. I don't think it's real at all. Yeah, I have all that stuff too. Only it's all me. I should do that. Hair and makeup by Kevin Plank. Hair and makeup by Kevin Plank. Technical advisor, Kevin. Yeah, Kevin Blankenberg. There we go. Have a great day, everybody. God bless. See you this afternoon.